0866 3675.
Radio. Well, my next guest, IT consultant Zorn Barner, has suggested that cybersecurity should be treated like health and safety. In fact, he says if you visit any mine site in Australia, you will be subjected to the mandatory health and safety briefing, testing, workshops, high-vis clothing, compliance checks and so on. But he asks us, when was the last time someone inspected apps on our phone, tested our password complexity, looked at our social connections or verified your IT ability? I certainly don't have an answer as yes for that one, and he joins us online right now. Good afternoon to you, Zorn.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Look, very well, thank you. Yes, it is a huge concern. You'd be more aware of it than anybody. And, of course, the recent situation that we had really sort of put the chills into everybody, didn't it?
It did, and it was a big issue to see that, in the first case, it was the health and hospital system in the UK, and then a few weeks later we saw the Cadbury factory in Hobart and shipping companies affected. So it was a very, very big impact of businesses and people across Australia and the world.
How easy was it for people to do that? We're talking about, was it ransomware?
Yeah, that's correct. So ransomware is simply a way where a file or a program takes over and locks your computer.
Ah.
And unfortunately, the easiest way that people get infected was clicking on a link that wasn't the real thing. Either it was an email, a Word document, or a fake bill, and then that infected their system.
That's a very simple thing to do. I had that happen to me a couple of weeks ago. I'm working in radio. I do a lot of research, and I was clicked onto a newspaper link to follow through a story, and I got a virus.
Yeah, it's incredibly easy, and unfortunately, when we think about what's happening in the world at the moment, there's not a lot of training that people go through. We're all in that busy time of year. There's a lot of things happening, things coming in and out, and it takes just one click and acceptance for this to happen.
But the thing was, though, with it, Zorn, is that it was a newspaper a logo that I knew so well and I'd been going to for many, many years. And yet, but this particular time, and all of a sudden the screen was ding, 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 alert, alert, and I had it taken away from me for a few days. So it's a very big inconvenience.
It is, and unfortunately there's not a lot being done to help people to work out how can they test. Is this logo real? Is where it comes from real? Is the sender the real sender? Because they're getting better and better impersonating banks, Australia Post and so on.
Well, how are we as a layperson meant to, or should we, or can we be taught how to recognise that something that's a little bit shifty?
Well, I think that's the challenge, Jenny, is if you look around, there's not a lot of that happening at the moment.
None.
In business, less than 5% of companies are doing what's called awareness training. So you have all these people at home and at work that just aren't getting the information to understand what's real and what's fake.
How can we get this information and where do we go?
A good first step, if you look online, the government has a great program that includes tests called Stay Smart Online.
Yeah.
And obviously ScamWatch as well. We know that's a great program to test yourself. But there are really free digital tools that you can use and download with your security software or antivirus software.
Yeah.
But those government programs would probably be the best place to start.
But are these people one step ahead of everybody, do you think? And how is it that they are able to, if that's the case?
I think at the moment, by all the evidence that we're seeing in the world, they are. You know, and all the businesses that got infected the first time around, you would have thought that 30 days later people would have implemented some new systems or updates, but it just didn't happen. And what's happening is people are moving so slow that things are still getting infected and people are still getting their systems locked. And there's people in offices that are locking whole payrolls or databases for small businesses that then can't on and transact.
Now, the whole situation with this, though, Zorn, is that it can be very, very confronting and frightening, really. I mean, like I said, I'm certainly nowhere near knowing everything about it or anything, but it could bring a city to a standstill. What if they got into our electricity supply circuits or something?
Well, and that's the rumour online, is that the latest release of software was actually designed to target a country. And whilst that's not confirmed, people think it was the Ukraine. And unfortunately, the casualties were people like you and I in businesses in Australia.
Mm.
Because it doesn't discriminate.
Look, I'm trying to visualise who these people are and why they do it. Is it monetary gain? Is it mischievousness? Is it letting us know that there is a greater force out there that can control us?
The three normal people or normal groups that people feel this comes from is first, governments. So there's a lot of conjecture about the Russian and Chinese governments with these tools, but just as much with the American government. The second is criminals. Criminals make a huge amount of money. I mean, in fact, last year in Australia, I think there was 300 million lost to scams. So, and then the third one is people being mischievous, taking advantage. And unfortunately, because a lot of it is automated and software, it doesn't pick on individuals. It doesn't say, oh, you're based in Perth, I don't care about you. It just looks for a weakness and goes after that.
What happened after the incident with the ransomware? What was that about?
So that design was to get money, Bitcoin, which was like a new electronic currency that can't be tracked. So they were designed to get money for all of the machines that were locked or ransomed or kidnapped, if you like. So far, they made about $150,000 from that, which when you consider they could have been in any other country in the world, they are literally untouchable.
That doesn't seem an awful lot of money when you think about, you know, holding a country or businesses to ransom when they were sort of pretty much spread out all around the world, weren't they, with this?
Yeah, we were very fortunate that an individual was able to stop the location of where the money was coming from. And so he was able, and there was a bit of celebrity status because he was able to look at where it was going and stop the spread of it by a simple switch.
What a hero.
Yeah, he was. He's a modern-day IT hero. And that kind of education, that curiosity in between the older and younger generations, at the moment there's no simple answer to say, hey, how do we protect ourselves?
Yes, it's interesting. A lot more education is required, I think, and we have to be all very much aware. Well, like I said, it's happened to me twice. Get onto innocent, yeah. And so I'm too scared to open anything on to get background on information anymore.
It is, and it is a scary environment, and I think the best advice you can always have is keep your systems up to date. Make sure you try and educate yourself around what looks real and what looks fake, and even with all of that, there's still chances and that you may get affected. So the third one, which is the most important, is back up your important documents, especially photos and critical work information or home information on a different system.
And finally, there was something in the news today about people, some group were accessing people's Medicare information.
There was. So it looks like what's happened is using the point of sale systems that you see in doctors or physios where they put in your Medicare number and you automatically claim. If you don't have your Medicare card with you, they can look you up on that system. Mm. So if you provide your date of birth, your name, those kind of things, they can look you up. But what happened is this person has worked out and has got access to that as long as they have that date of birth and I think four bits of information, they can retrieve that Medicare number, which then opens them up to making fake Medicare numbers, claiming subsidies on your behalf and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, my gosh. If these wicked minds turn to the good of the world, it would be a better place. They're very clever,
absolutely,
aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're there. Managing Director of Leap Consulting as well. Zorn, thank you very, very much indeed.
Thank you, Jenny.
Pleasure, thank you. Zorn Barner there. Yes, we really have to be a little mindful. I'm not too sure what you can do. Like you suggest, you back up, I guess. But I'll just give you those websites. Scam Watch and make sure you go. Oh, antivirus as well. Curtin FM.
Purely commercials have two-wheel drive utes.